a deputy assistant to the president. And if you know anything about the food chain here, that's saying something, because he is the principal deputy of the communication shop, communications director, Alex Pfeiffer. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I love the fact that a younger member of the comm shop is here, because so much of what this administration is doing is resonating with young folks, and it's important. I'm 60, so I'm a dinosaur, but it's great to see the young staffers here who get that younger generation. That's a big part of what you do.
Yes, this is a very young staff, and a lot of it's just we were all worked on the campaign together. You know, I think most of the comms and press shop, you know, 80% of it or so, we were all together working 2 years ago to win the Republican nomination and then the general election. And but yes, obviously reaching out to younger voters is important for us. The White House actually started its TikTok account last week. But frankly, it's reaching out to all voters, because I think we recognize that there's sort of, you need to have an all of the above media approach. Some Americans read the newspaper. Some Americans get their news from online websites. Some Americans listen to radio, some podcasts, some watch broadcast TV, some cable TV. So we would not be doing our job if we weren't using every single medium possible to reach American voters. Because if we're not reaching them and talking about to them about what the administration is doing, whether it's securing the border, you know, something that other presidents claimed they couldn't do, or whether it's bringing back American manufacturing, whatever it is, if we're not communicating it, then we're failing, because people don't even know we've done it.
You mentioned TikTok, and obviously there's a whole level of controversy there related to the ownership and changes that are happening there. Was that your idea for the president to go on TikTok, or was that Dana White's?
It was not my idea. But I think it's an important medium that people use, and obviously, you know, the president and the vice president, you know, still working on some trying to land a TikTok deal. But you know, people could have issues with its ownership, but they can't escape the fact that it's something tens of millions of Americans use every single day to get information.
What kind of consumption is happening in your digital assets? I mean, compared to the first administration, compared to Sleepy Joe, what kind of numbers do you have, views and whatnot?
If you had something on from the digital team, they'd give you more precise numbers, but tens of millions every single week across the accounts, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You know, the digital consumption's huge, because again, that's how a lot of people at this point don't even get information from any sort of news channel.
It's regime media, we call them, right?
Yeah, well, you know,
some good, some bad.
Yeah, some good, some bad. But yes, regime media, if you'd want to call it that. But you know, I think digital media is an important way to get information out there, and it's also a way to be punchy and fun with it.
Big story today, the South Korean person here. A lot happening on the international front with Putin and Zelensky and EU leaders. Just give us a quick download on the president's week.
I think on Monday we started off with signing a bunch of law and order executive orders. One that I love is the cashless bail one. So there are jurisdictions around the nation that have imposed something called cashless bail, which sounds exactly like the name. You let people out without even having to put up cash bail. And it's increased crime in all the jurisdictions. The University of Utah had a great study on this, showing the spike in crime in Cook County after they imposed it. So what this executive order does is it tells the Department of Justice to put together a list of these jurisdictions, and then it will identify what funding streams can be pooled to incentivize these districts to stop their cashless bail policies. And you know, if you've been watching the news or listening to a reading, whatever, you've seen RF from D.C. has paid off dividends. I checked the stats before I started this interview. Carjackings are down 90% in D.C. D.C. went a week without a homicide, which, you know, I'm sure if you're listening in North Dakota, that's normal to go a week without a homicide. But D.C. Has been, unfortunately, one of the most violent places in the United States. And as the president said, it's a shame. This is the nation's capital, the world's wealthiest country. It should not have a higher homicide rate than Bogota, Colombia. You know, the president has the will to make this nation safer, and he's making sure that actually happens.
Alex, keep up your great efforts. We appreciate everything you're doing for this great country.
Yep. Thanks for having me.